Don't change that dial. Direct from WGBB, 1240 on your dial, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for...
Listen up. Jesus is on the air.
That's Al Marino singing.
Gladness, and it puts our heart at ease.
Hey, Tony, can you believe it? We're here with a group of young people.
I'm
young
totally,
people, Tony.
I'm totally at awe that young people have their hearts so filled with Jesus and the Blessed Mother that they're willing to spend the night with each other and that's bringing tears to my eyes, but I don't want to say that.
Let's be thankful for Lord Jesus.
This is the Faith on Tap group, isn't it?
This is Faith on Tap.
And we're looking at, I'm guessing,
300 people. We were amazed.
See what happens when you become an old man?
They knocked the wall out. You can't believe it, listeners. We're surrounded by young people. I hope we get out alive. When the task is way beyond you and your heart is filled with tears, turn it all over to Jesus. Watch your worries disappear. Do you see the lines in our foreheads and the white hair? We have been challenged by life. And the only person that got us through, as you'll hear, is Jesus. Personally, inside of us. And that's the truth.
And that was Dr. John Palmer, and I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we're two young kids with love in our hearts for Jesus. And we want to spread that love throughout Long Island. And you know what? You guys and gals could help us. God bless you.
He may have overstated it. We're also the oldest people on WGBB. And
yes.
I think we are, you know, and they still don't know what to do with us, do they?
But when we say we're two young kids, if it wasn't for you, you blew it. People were believing we're two young kids.
I know, but the people see me outside. They say, I thought you were a young kid. And we're not.
Well, anyway, we love Jesus. We love the Blessed Mother. Jesus is in our lives, and they should be in your lives too, and I'm sure they are.
And God, our God is an awesome God. Awesome. You know, you guys heard that word before, right? And we're going to just play Michael Smith's song just to set the tone for listeners. And we'll see if we can get his song to play.
He's up for re-election, by the way, as executive producer.
You might even know the song. Our God is an awesome God. Do you know the song? Anybody know the song? Sing along with him when he gets going. Because my volume thing is at home.
You're not going to sing, are you, John?
Yes. Huh? Oh, we're going to come around with the microphone. We're going to make sure they can hear you. Our God is an awesome God. Awesome God. So many young people. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns on heaven and earth with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. That's hard, huh? Our God, don't you sing it. He reigns with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Come on. From heaven above with wisdom, power, and love, our God is an awesome God.
Our God
is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven and... Now they're all going to be quiet because I'm walking around with the microphone. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns with wisdom. How many people here have degrees from colleges? And you can't remember those words? What's the matter with you people?
Wow, just about everyone. Amazing.
Don't tell them we don't.
By the way, did you ever spend that money I gave you for singing lessons?
No.
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 Can't you
tell?
You never used it.
You got the idea. Our God is an awesome God. And we're so happy that we can bring him to you. Believe it or not, on the radio, we hope.
And we will. And you know what I was thinking as we were singing and talking? You know, I'm sure Jesus touched each one of your lives in one way or another. And maybe sometime during the show they could share that experience.
We'll see.
On how Jesus touched your lives. Maybe you want to start thinking about it, because I can guarantee that in one way or another he touched your lives. He wants to be in every part of your lives, you know. He wants to be with you in school, wants to be with you in your business, and he wants to be with you at home, wants to be with you with your friends, he wants to be part of your lives. If you own a business, make him the CEO. It's the best CEO you could ever have. So
I'm not saying a word, you're talking, I don't want to interrupt.
He's an awesome God. Believe me. Make him your best friend. And isn't it so awesome that your best friend's father is the creator of the universe? Huh? Isn't it? Isn't it awesome? Make him your best friend.
All right. Now we want to get down to business. Enough of this frivolity. Right? We want to talk about how is it possible for God to get personal with you? How can God do that? How can God do that? I'll tell you a secret. You can ask God until the cows come in to answer this prayer and answer that prayer and answer this prayer and answer that prayer. And you can talk to him. You can say 10,000 rosaries out loud and talk to him and talk to him. You can stand up and read scripture out loud. But that's you talking to God. Our show, even though we talk a lot, is that we want you to be still and know God is truly your God. Now that takes work. You have to really cultivate quieting your mind and getting rid of all of your personal pleas. I tell people, if you want to get in touch with God, you tell him everything on your mind until you cannot say another word. And then, when you're all talked out, stay still for 5 more minutes, and you'll be touched by God.
Absolutely.
You'll be touched by him. I want to give you a personal experience. And Tony, I know you're going to interrupt me because...
No,
and
I'm you usually interrupt me.
But. Okay. Well, anyway, I have had a lot of problems in my life. And one morning when I got up, I was so angry at God. And I have a habit of going to adoration every morning. I love being in the presence of God for an hour every day. It started 20 years ago, and I'm now so personal with God. When I'm angry at him, I can sit down and say, listen, blah 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 blah, whatever. And one morning I was really, really, really letting him have it. And I now hear a word form. Now, I'm a psychologist. It's kind of weird. But I can hear a response. And after letting him have it, I heard inside of me, my, aren't you testy this morning? I'll come back when you're feeling better. And he didn't say another word. that I heard nothing else inside of me. Another morning, I got up because I go to adoration. And you know, there's another guy, the guy from downstairs with the funny red suit. He likes to keep us away from God. So I'm up in the morning. Now you may think I'm really nuts, but I already told you I am. I got up in the morning.
You're trying to convince me.
And I took a shower. And I'm hearing in the shower, look at the hero. He's going to go to God. He's going to save the world. Look at the hero. Wow, what a star. Are you kidding? Get back into bed. What the hell's the matter with you? Get back into bed. And I just disregarded it. I said, no, I want to go to adoration. I get in the car, going over to adoration. And I hear, say the rosary, pray, pray. So I started praying divine mercy, and I hear, you think that's going to help? You got to have your head examined, Mr. Psychologist. You think that's going to, is that crazy enough for you? And I said, well, it's not working when I do it quietly, and I hear, pray out loud. So I started saying the chaplet of divine mercy. And when I finished that, that rotten voice was still around. Still around. Giving me a hard time. And I heard, say the rosary. Sorrowful mysteries. And the church that I go to in the morning was about a half an hour from my house, so I had plenty of time to pray out loud. And I was saying the rosary. And as I walked up to the Adoration Chapel door, I started to say, now I was saying it inside because, hey, I don't want people to think of me as too nuts. They will after they hear this on the radio. As I grabbed for the door, I heard inside of me, your mind is your crown of thorns. The thoughts that you had all this morning, coming from your humanity, coming from within you, that were negative, that's your crown of thorns. But there was another voice that you listened to, my voice. And now, as you open the door to the Adoration Chapel, I tell you this, I will give you internal silence for the whole hour you're there. And I got silence for the whole hour. Silence. Now, you don't know me. Tony knows me best of all.
I do.
But you don't know me. My mind is like a machine gun. I don't know if yours is. It never, ever shuts up. It's always throwing stuff at me. Anybody here with a mind like that? Okay? Okay? And for me to sit and have internal silence for 1 hour, that's a miracle.
Oh, my Lord.
That's a miracle. He knows.
You listen to the show, he's constantly interrupting me. He doesn't keep quiet. But you know what? To get to know him is to get to love him.
Oh, don't make me nauseous. But you have to understand, that is how God will get personal with you. St. Teresa of Avila has said there are two kinds of prayer. There's verbal prayer, rosary and other kinds of prayers, but there's also mental prayer. And that's when you get silent and let God talk to you. Our challenge to you tonight, young people, and our guests in the back from the KFC, who are still much younger than me, our challenge is, during the second half of the show, don't be so sure. And during the second half of the show, we're going to try and get everybody here to quiet their heads and listen to some of the things that God tells us. Tony, why don't you do a little talking for a bit now?
Oh, thank Lord. I thought I was never going to get an opportunity. Actually, my message is similar to John's, maybe a little bit simpler. And it's simply that we don't have to go through life with the trials and tribulations that we go through and feel that there's no one there to help you and there's no way you're going to be helped, that it's too far gone, whatever it is. That's not true, because Jesus is there. Jesus wants to be part of your life. He wants to carry your burdens. He wants to help you. He wants you to go to him. He's waiting. He's waiting with open arms. He's not going to throw himself on you. You need to go to him. You need to tell him, Jesus, take this for me. Take it off my back. I can't carry it if that's what it is. Well, help me pass a test. Well, help me do this. Whatever you need help with, hand it over to Jesus. He's a great guy. He will never say no to you. All he wants is you to come to him. He's there waiting with open arms. He's done it for me many, many times. I'm sure he's done it for Palmer many, many times. He's taken stuff. You know, I used to be such a worrier, such a worry ward. I worried about everything. And you know what? Sometimes I worried if I didn't worry. And I used to say to my wife, I know something's not right. I'm not worrying. But then I found Jesus, and I asked him to lift whatever burdens were coming to me. I mean, I'm in business. I'm tons of stuff going on in business and in my personal life, my kids. And there were instances of illnesses. I had lung cancer. My wife had ovarian cancer, grave ovarian cancer. We just turned it, you know, when I got... We just turned it over to Jesus. John knows because he prayed over me. We just said, Jesus, we're in your hands. Help us out. And he did. All right. I know you're getting nervous.
Yeah, I want to share one other thing. You know, this is not a personal story about me, but it's about a woman who I had in private practice talking about how God gets personally involved in your life. She was being physically abused by her husband. And she was very much into prayer groups and trying to open herself up to God and asking for help to handle this son of a gun. Okay? And because he was so physically, I have to remember I'm on the radio, he was so physically abusive. She had a prayer partner. And she was in the kitchen at home, prayer partner for years. Her husband came in a drunken stupor, and he was going to beat her up. She knew it. He backed her up against a wall, and she reached out her hand and picked out a butcher knife, and she was ready to stab her husband. At that, the phone rang. And who would ever think someone in that state of mind would answer the phone? But something made her answer the phone. And she heard on the other end, Marge, this is so-and-so, her prayer partner. Jesus, in my quiet time, told me to call you. Are you all right? Are you all right? That's Jesus becoming personal in our lives. In our lives. Now, I have a lot of examples that we could talk about. And Tony, why don't you tell them about adoration and what happened to you in Montauk? I know you hate to do it. That's why I'm asking you to do it.
Well, this was very recent. This was August. August 18th was the Blessed Mother's holiday, and I have a condo in Montauk, and it's on the bay, and I like adoration.
And you know, it's on the water.
It's on the water, and it's a beach with a rocky beach, and it's like no one ever goes on there. So I usually used to like to go and walk on the beach and throw rocks in the water and stuff like that. And I like to go to adoration, but, you know, and I try to talk to, I talk to Jesus as I go to adoration. And so I couldn't go because we were, they don't have it in Montauk, the parish that I know of. And so I decided that I was going to go onto the beach. And there was no one there, and they have a beach chair. So I went down. It was about 5 o'clock at night. And I sat on the beach, and I just all of a sudden just started talking to Jesus. I says, Jesus, I'm at the water. I know from studying the apostles and studying, reading the gospels, that you really like the water. You liked fishing. This reminds me so much of this scene, reminds me so much of the of you, that you like it, and you like the stillness of the water, and you spend so much time at the water. And, you know, I don't know what to tell you, except that I just want to thank you for all the stuff that you've done for me. I want to thank you. I want you to know that you are a big part of our lives. And so I just closed my eyes, and I start seeing, like, it was before sunset, and I start seeing different colors and stuff like that. And then I got a thought in my mind, and it says something to the effect, now I didn't hear nothing, I just, the thought came to my mind is, Anthony, you are my lightning rod to evangelize. I want you to bring people to me. That's what he said. And I says, oh Jesus, I would, oh, if you're telling me that, I said, I would love to do that. Can you tell my wife that, because I'm always never home, and can you give me a confirmation of this, what you're telling me? I would like a confirmation. And so I kept praying and praying, and I was there for an hour, maybe an hour and a half, and it was so beautiful and so serene, so quiet. If you ever do that, and you go on a beach and you just look at the water, it's like, it's so quiet and peaceful and lovely, and maybe it might even, you know, put you in a spell, and I'm sure Jesus was there. So I went upstairs. I finished. I went up, and I was on the patio with my wife, and I said, by the way, did Jesus say anything to you? She says, what? I says, did Jesus say anything to you? She knows I'm, she says, she knows, now you're getting a little carried away, Anthony, you know? So I said, I was just wondering. So we went on a patio, and it was going to be a sunset. In Montauk, you get beautiful sunsets. It, you know what? It almost is as nice as Hawaii, the sunsets. They're gorgeous. And so the sun was starting to set. And so I said, come on, let's go take a picture of the sunset anyway. So we did. We took pictures of the sunset. And it was a beautiful sunset. And when we looked at the pictures of the sunset, all the sunsets, this is what we got. I don't know if you know what this is. It's the monstrance of adoration, and you can see the water, and this is the actual picture. No touching up, no nothing. But the funny part of it is that you see this black. It wasn't dark. It was like 6 o'clock, there was sun out, it was starting to sunset, but it just so happened that the background came black. I don't know how that happened or what happened, but this was the picture that we got. And I guess that was the confirmation that I asked him for. And he killed two birds with one stone. I guess that was the telling my wife what's going on and convincing her. So she knew exactly what, and I explained to her what went on.
So Jesus talks in words, pictures, music, other people, scripture. Anyway, he talks to you. And all you have to do to hear him is learn to listen. Mary also talks, doesn't she, Tony?
Yes, she does.
And we're going to play the Magnificat. And Tony's going to read a little bit about Mary and whatever else you're going to do.
Yeah, I'm going to be very brief about it. But you know why I'm going to be brief? Because he always interrupts me. He gets me so nervous. You know, I don't. Oh, please, John, give me a break. Well,
see a psychologist.
You're too expensive. Well, anyway, I decided to talk about Mary tonight because of I knew it was going to be a young group here. And Mary is such a motherly, a lovely lady, and you know, she's our heavenly mother, not our earthly mother, but she's our heavenly mother, and she loves us so. And she had such a meek beginning. Could you lower that?
Yeah.
Okay. She had such a meek beginning. You know, I don't know if you knew, in those days, they got married at a very young age. You know, they got married like 12 years old, 13. Yeah, that's when they, yeah. And Mary was a young teenager when she was going to get married. And so I imagine that one day Mary was cleaning around the house, helping her mom, thinking about getting married to Joseph, thinking about Joseph was a carpenter. He had his own business, and she was going to, you know, help him with the business and etc. And then all of a sudden, an angel appeared with a message to Mary. So Mary was startled. You know, if I saw an angel, I probably would be startled too. She knew immediately it was an angel. And does anybody know who that angel was? Gabriel. That was Saint Gabriel. And he gave her a message. And he said that, "Peace be with you," said the angel. Mary was terrified, but she wasn't afraid. I guess that's easier said than done. And then he told her, "The Lord has blessed you, whose name you're going to become pregnant. You'll give birth to a son. You'll name him Jesus. People will say he's the Son of God. He'll be like a king, and he'll reign forever and ever." Mary was startled. She felt weak. But what could she say? "How can this be? Joseph and I aren't even married. We aren't married yet." And the angel says, "God's Holy Spirit will come upon you. God will be the father of your child. There's nothing God can't do." And that is what happened. Everything that the angel had said came to pass. But inwardly, Mary, with so much faith and innocence, accepted the word of the angel that God had chosen her to be the mother of his son. And she was so humble, and although she questioned how could that be, she didn't question that she was doubtful. She questioned it because she wasn't married to Joseph. That's what her question was. But she accepted fiat, let it be. She accepted the responsibility of giving birth to Jesus. And Joseph, of course, when Mary told him, was startled and didn't know what to do. The angel had to come and calm him down too. And the angel says, "Don't be afraid, because the Holy Spirit has gone upon Mary." And so she had such a humble beginning. She got pregnant. She had to run from Herod. She gave birth in a stable. In such a humble beginning, and she led such a humble life. She had led dedicated strictly to Jesus. So there's not much that's known about Mary at the beginning. There's not much that's known about Mary in the Gospels, except that the angel appeared to her. She accepted. She tended to Jesus. When Jesus was 12, they lost him. And then they found him. Joseph apparently died while Jesus was growing up. But Mary was constantly, constantly behind the scenes tending to Jesus' needs and bringing him up. Until finally when he was, what, 30 years old. He was at a wedding, and they ran out of wine, and the mother knew that, and Jesus was there, and she told the tenants to bring water or to do anything Jesus said. And Jesus says, "It's not my time yet." And he said, and she told the tenants, "Just do what he says." And Jesus would not refuse Mary. And what he do? Turned that water into wine, so that the wedding party was a tremendous success. And guess what? That wine was the talk of the town. It was the best wine they ever tasted. So she was behind the scenes. She was there when he was carrying the cross. She was there when he was crucified. She was there when they took him down off the cross and put him in Jesus in Mary's arms, and she held him so tenderly. And when Jesus was on the cross, he looked at his mother and he said to John, "This is your mother." In essence, he says, "Take care of her." And so John did take care of her. He lived a very ripe old age too, and he did. But now, God has blessed Mary from the before she was born. She was without sin. She was born without sin. She was born. God chose her. Chose her to be the mother of his son, and she did accept it. But he also selected her to go around the world and bring Jesus to them. So the fastest way to get to Jesus is through Mary. Right, Palmer? Don't interrupt me, Palmer.
No, I'm not going to interrupt. Well, then, lovely to hear that story, and you told it well. But, you know, it's not just a story. Mary is a real person. And Jesus was not just a prophet. Jesus is God. And we have to really emphasize that, because all the New Age things that are around, you've all seen them. See, Jesus was a good guy. Oh, isn't that nice?
He was a good guy.
He was a good guy. But he's God. And you notice, though.
Make him your best friend. You won't be sorry.
You notice, though, God spoke to Mary through an angel. How many people have ever seen angels? Me neither. Hard to believe. How many here in this room have had a personal experience of God in your life? All right? Look at the people that have been touched.
Look at the people who have been touched.
We'll get them as we go on. You know, now, Tony, I wanted to... Go ahead.
Can I have the mic back? Sure. I'm not done yet. You always do that to me. I just wanted to finish up with saying that Mary's job, as you know, she appeared all over the world, all over the Fatima, Lourdes, Medjugorje for 30 years now. And God has given Mary a special assignment. He wants Mary to bring people to Jesus. And he has given Mary the power, the awesome power, so awesome, to have the Lucifer's legions bow down and praise her and worship her. And they don't like doing it. As a matter of fact, that was from a story that I read of one of the saints. And they don't like doing it, but they couldn't resist it. They had to bow down and praise her. She has the power to stamp the devil on his head, step on his head. You know, here he goes again.
But Mary, anyone who is addicted to drugs, alcohol, sex, pornography, on the internet, anyone who has an addiction, Mary is the way to be cured of addiction. And the way she does it, she gives you, not her, but others who have followed, give you her rosary, saying the Hail Mary 50 times when you feel the need for an up, whatever you think that up may be. Mary's grace enters your mind. And through her intercession with her son Jesus, change the way that person thinks, even as they're going through the pangs of withdrawal. I have seen that happen in my practice. In my practice.
All right, I'm going to finish up now, Palmer.
Okay,
not to interrupt me. That's a good experience. That was good, Dr. Palmer. I just want to finish up by saying that Jesus. Now, I don't know how I know this, but Jesus wants Mary, wants us to go to Mary and to have Mary also play a large part in our lives. Jesus is asking us, don't forget my mom. How about my mom? Jesus came to Mary, and Jesus is going to come to Mary again. So she's the one. Praise Jesus. Okay, Palmer, I'm done.
Are you sure?
Yes.
We promised you an experience at the beginning of this hour. Now, I don't know how this is going to work, but I've done this with groups all over the island. And what I do, I play some quiet music, and I told you I have a word gift. I'm going to use that. I have a word gift. So what I tell people to do, first of all, take everything off your lap. Sit quietly. Now, you realize I'm a psychologist, so I like these touchy-feely things, right? Sit quietly. Try to still your mind. And we'll see what happens. And, Tony, if it doesn't happen, it's your fault. I'm going to move out into the middle of the room, so the music is not that much of a distraction. I'm going to read you three letters that I received in meditation. And they're really different, and they're unusual. First letter is from the Holy Spirit, believe it or not. I am your friend. I am the Most Holy Spirit. I am always here for you. I listen to your heart. I rejoice with your joy. I weep with you when sorrow comes your way. I am with you every day. I am with you when you come my way. I am with you even when you stay away. I dwell in you always. I interact with you in ways that touch you with my heavenly grace. Pentecost is forever alive in you. Pentecost is love eternal. I'm the Most Holy Spirit, and I'm here right now. I'm touching you and entering your mind. And I'm telling you, I'm so happy to see you. I'm so happy that you're trying to get in touch with me. I'm easier to get than email. All you have to do is what you're doing now. Close your mind and let me take over. I am the voice of heaven. I speak in your heart. I override your misconceptions. I teach you truth. I correct you gently. And I reward you handsomely. I build our love in your heart. I create a need in you tonight. If you're touched by me, it's a need that only I can satisfy. I repeat these truisms again and again. I wipe away all your concerns, even for just these few moments when you are still with me in my love. Feel my love. Feel my touch. I'm here just for the taking, even if I'm just giving you quiet peace for these few moments. That's my gift to you. That's me, the Holy Spirit. I am the mutual love of the Father and the Son personified. I'm a person. I'm not just Casper the Ghost. I'm a person. And I'm alive in this room right now. And I'm touching you. And I know that you can feel my presence. I want to draw you to the true presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. He's alive there, you know. He's alive there. That's not just a piece of bread. Let him melt on your tongue when you receive him. People who are eternally dead call him a piece of bread. But now you and I know he's alive. He's a person and he can touch you. I want you right now to realize that there is nothing anywhere in your life or in your mind that can stand between you and Jesus. If you're in sin, come to reconciliation. And when you're in the state of grace, come. And I will nourish you in ways that will surprise you. If you can't go to reconciliation because you think the Father can't forgive you, then just come to adoration. That's where I am in a monstrance. And it's the second best thing to receiving Jesus Eucharistically. We're meeting tonight in the sacred space that is my sacred heart. Everything else is gone. I take all your thoughts away and I touch you. And I'm going to ask you now, remain silent for a few moments and let my heart touch your heart and let my spirit open your heart to my love. Be still and I'll be still. But I'll be back. We are under the cover of your personal, intimate, internal belief that what you're experiencing now is truly me within you. I affirm your belief. I come alive in you in ways that are totally unique to your personality. And I'm touching each person here in the special way that enables his or her heart to somehow recognize me. I am Jesus the Messiah. I come that you might have my true love in you abundantly. I am the way, the truth, life eternal. And believe it or not, I am here in the Wantagh Inn. Upstairs. You're in the upper room of the Wantagh Inn. I do my best work in the upper room. So I'm so glad to have new prophets like you sitting here. In these few moments in your quiet time, I share my special touch of love, and I make my true presence known in you. It's not something you can explain. It's personal. It's intimate. It's internal. It's experiential. It's the secret of salvation. I share it in my friends in such a way that for them to speak openly about what they experience risks their being labeled insane. Why do I do this? Why am I doing this tonight, here? I want to become an intimate, personal savior for each person in this room. I am loving you now with my everlasting love. And I'm touching you now in a way that's personal and intimate just for you. Just for you. This is my personal, intimate second coming. It's personal and intimate, and I come inside of you. I speak truth. I can never tell lies. And my truth to you is so simple. I love each of you with an everlasting love. I love each of you personally, intimately, quietly, gently. I forgive all your concerns. I forgive all your sins, and I say, thank you. Thank you for letting me in. Thank you for opening your heart to me. Thank you for being you and letting me be your Messiah. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have loved you. And you are mine. You are mine. Right here in the upper room at the Wantour Inn. Rejoice. Your Messiah is alive in you. My friends, that was not an act. That was me reading words I heard in adoration. And halfway through that exercise, Jesus took over. And the words that I spoke came from what I heard, not as real voice in my heart, but come from the love that he wants you to have. How did we do? Anybody?
Awesome.
Oh, I know you. You always say awesome. Anybody get touched? If you got touched, raise your hand. How many tonight? How many are touched? Everybody in this room is touched. See, you're all nuts. You're all loved by God. That's what we mean when we say he wants to get personal with you. He wants to be your best friend.
And isn't it awesome that our God wants to come down to us and be with us, and he's available to us? I mean, it's so awesome that to realize that our God is amongst us. This is what he did. I mean, we're nobodies. He wants us, each and every one of us, to come and talk to us and be our friend. John, this was awesome. It really was.
I just want to say, if you like those words, I have a website called holyspiritwithin.net. And on that website, I have over 120 books of words that I've received over these past 20 years of that personal nature. I don't know what will attract you or what will touch you, but if you go on that website, I'll guarantee you, you'll feel just like the sister who emailed me. I have almost 60,000 people on the website. The sister who emailed me from Seattle, Washington, saying for 65 years, I prayed to Jesus. But when I read your words, I feel that he's talking back to you, to me. And I hope you felt some of that. We're going to close the show with Eagle's Wings. And I think that's appropriate, huh? This is Michael Crawford. And we just thank Jesus for being here. And for you for putting up with us. And for Tony for putting up with me. This poor man. I have taken him over the coals for the past 9-10 months. Eagle's Wings. Let yourself be lifted up.
You who dwell in the shelter of the Lord, who abide in his shadow for life, say to the Lord, my refuge, my rock, in whom I trust, and he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun.
I made that mistake once.
And not yet. Dee, 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 dee. You come on, you know the words. If not, hum. Not you, Marianne. Your feet again. Here we go. Come on, everybody.
Raise you up on eagle's wings.
You're going to go broke giving them singing lessons. The breath of dawn make you to shine like a sun. And hold you in the palm of his hand.
Can I have my money back that I gave you from the
singing? No. Lessons? No. I put him on dancing lessons. Come here, Marion.
I'm singing to that mic again.
No, you're not going to sing.
You know what?
This woman is the linchpin for all of these activities for you people all over the diocese. Mary Ann, what's your last name? Give me your last name again. I'm blocking.
Sheridan.
Oh, it's at Sheridan. Mary Ann Sheridan. She's in charge of youth ministry, young adults, campus ministry. And she got a trip to where?
Oh, Spain.
A trip to Spain, Adam.
Come on, Kristen. We were dancing in the streets in Spain. There we go, with the Pope.
We just want to thank you, Mary Ann, for all you do, and thank you for inviting Tony and myself here tonight.
Thank you.
And we thank all of you for being patient and enjoying, I hope, the presence of Jesus in your heart. Good night, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Let me get some pictures here. And we'll...
Go ahead.
Oh, come on. Let's hear it for Tony and John. It was beautiful.
Lest you dash